And I was going to say to you, you got to better run the Las Vegas to sit there on that darn bench. No matter how they scream, no matter how the ball fell, he was going to stick to the game plan, stick to the game plan.
And yeah, I guess he did, didn't he? I didn't remember how that did.
Well, you know, I don't know.
But he was probably a great game plan. Oh,
gosh, yes. And I think he was probably the greatest coach ever lived. Because I was, they talk about using football there. I was even worse. We out scrimmage as far as we ever Monday. But that, man, but just sticking to it. I knew that was what you were doing. I admire you, Mark, because the old guy came out all right, you know. He didn't care how much they screamed or how the ball bounced.
Didn't care whether they were ahead or
no, they were game ahead. And he never got beat for more than two touchdowns his entire career.
Is that right? He never started to make the beat.
Never.
Yeah.
But we always stuck up. But really, sometimes.
He would have been a great pro coach.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I say sometimes. The old man is still alive, you know, still very vigorous. If you ever have some kind of a function you could invite him to, that would do
what do you know?
For he and Mrs. Wade and anything on Guzzer. I run into him once in a while.
Is he able to travel?
Yes. Oh, look, he bounced across the street in Durham the last, about 6 months ago when I was down there. I had the richest man in the world, but, you know, he just played the stock market there.
All right. I'll see that he comes.
That's good. He can be in the cup, really, in about 60s. It was all about Ireland.
Yeah.
But I didn't ask really to see you for that purpose, Mr. Fred. I wanted to...
Talk about your pet project. You want to talk about your pet project?
I had two of them.
Oh, two?
And actually... First, I want to talk about is this National Institute of Justice Commission that I'm hit on. It grew out of the suggestion of Warren Berger to take a look at the whole of justice in the United States. Now, this is a commission made up of laymen and lawyers, but coming out of the American Bar Association, I say this idea has been talked about for years. And, of course, Berger spoke of it as doing the law with the National Science Foundation, has done for science, and arts council, and so on. But actually, it's so controversial every time you mention the aspect of justice when you talk about legal education or the police or prosecutors. I broke it down into 15 parts and said, look, we're going to look at this a long time because, well, for example, even within your administration, one of your young guys teed off on the Chief Justice because he thought this whole thing was affecting the LEAA.
Okay.
And when they come running to me about it, I said, well, ask the president what his position is. This little fellow can't say his position.
Yeah.
But I think this is a very serious thing because I have to agree with Berger that no matter where you touch the justice system in our country, it's bad, it's defective and deficient. That's what he talked about.
What can we do about it?
Look, we're doing. That's what we're trying to find. Now, I said, look, I'm not an instant expert. I didn't think up this concept.
This is an American bar.
Yes. Yes, but I say, I recommended that it go way beyond the American bar and involve everybody. We've got labor people on it. We've got industry people on it.
Right.
So it's a broad segment. Now, and I told him I would not make an instant recommendation. Now, the way it looks like it's going to shape up is about like this, that we will recommend, in the overall, some kind of an organization that will be able to really get money for law, because, you know, we spend less than 1% on law, in a way that other things have. And what has happened is that I've got most of the experts who know about all this, but every way you turn is spread, you touch a sacred cow. What concerned me most was when we started in on this, that we were coming into the campaign. And so you know how your newspaper friends are, well, they're going to take care of them. But these people,
well, the trouble is, Charlie, the lawyers are the worst group. Well, they're going to take that too, but they never want to change it on this. The lawyers, you know, and the judges and so forth, Berger's fighting and they're losing battle here.
Well,
but I think what you could, I'll tell you what I would do, as soon as you get your report ready, you can come in and make it.
I don't
know what I mean, you know,
that's what I
think is the committee.
Well, but I would like to.
I'll see myself.
And I would like to present it to you. It'll take us maybe the rest of the year.
Fine, all right.
But, cause.
I told the commission that I'm very interested in, that we talked about it, and that I want them to really probe deeply, and if they're ready to report, I expect them to report to me, and I'll meet the whole group again.
Well, I'm very grateful that, because.
That way you have an inspired element.
So the one thing I wanted to tell you was, now, as we touch these sacred cows, you'll probably see some headlines like you saw about Jerry Swindler jumping on the Chief Justice. He got nation high publicity. But,
I said, stir up.
All right. But if you read a headline trying to claim that I am doing something, you know that's false.
Right, that's another thing too, is that, are you going with the prison system?
Yes, oh yes, that's one of the big things.
Let's get into that.
And of course, into the state court system. And the state court.
And the whole business of the speed up of the process of criminal justice and so forth.
And of course, 95% of it's done in the state courts.
Oh, sure, it's federal, it's pretty.
And so we have to create an agency that lets them take part, that's not federal, but it has to be an agency, in my judgment, where the president will appoint the people. You gotta get money out of the federal government, it's the only place.
What would the money be used for?
The money would be used to energize, the whole, court system, to take a look at what's wrong in legal education, what's wrong in the delivery of law services, all this legal aid mess and stuff like that. What's wrong in prisons, what's wrong here, what's wrong there. But it's not gonna be, I say, an instant expert thing.
Right.
And I think I know enough.
I understand, just go ahead.
It'll be something,
you'll get no trouble.
And it'll be careful. And I say, I just don't want, I think from the days of Jerry Voorhees and now, defended you everywhere, and I'm not gonna have people say anything adverse at this time. Now, moving on to the international area. Now, you know, I feel pretty strong, Clay, in support of you when you say we've got to be the strongest nation on earth. I agree. I think that's one. I would just hope that in these 4 years, because you can do it, that you would order the biggest buildup of law in the international. You see, all your agreements are wonderful, but the only way you're going to give them permanence, Mr. President, is to institutionalize them and to put them into law. Then they live on.
Yeah.
Then they live on. And I'm not just talking about this World Law Code, which I really think you ought to do, because if you start it, all the rest of the people can only add to the Nixon Code forever. And you know, I urge you that be done. I talked to some of your people. I talked to the State Department. State Department referred it back over here. They were all for it. But I understand it was founded on the question of money. And I would say to you, if it's a question of money, I can't think of anything more useful you could use the arms control agency's money for than to go into this whole thing of the buildup in law. You pioneered so much in this field of negotiation. You shouldn't confine it to the United States and the great powers. There are principles there, there are procedures there that ought to be laid out for everybody. And only you can do it. Only you can do it.
Well, you mentioned this presidential commission. Talking about international law, sir.
Yes, I did. But I said that that's the one that I argued through your guys and argued through the State Department guys.
Oh, I agree. We might get the money. How much did it cost?
Well, they were talking about, say, $250,000, but that's what we're done in store for the cars. I would like to see, say, there's so many things that could come out of it. Number one, more international law has come into existence in the past 25 years than the whole history of it.
Yeah.
Now, but it hasn't been codified or put together in any way. Now, if you just started, you know that the code would never be finished, ever. But if you started, see, the big thing is, you know, I traveled the world. I went over and I was talking to Haile Selassie, and he said, I've done more for international law than any man in all history. And I said, how? And he said, well, I told the League of Nations that they didn't uphold the rule of law, they'd go out of existence, and they did. But now, take Ethiopia. They made it belong to 100 treaties and agreements. Maybe a few more. But, my lord, even the mainland China, it belonged to 1,000. We had 4,000. That whole mess of law, though, is not correlated. It's not collected. It can be done. But only someone like you can do it. It's going to cost money, yes. But if money is the... I can't think of anything that you can get out of this country.
The United Nations can't do this.
Well, of course,
weak as water. Much of this law, much of this law has been swamped by that. You know, an area, yeah, in so many of these things, your persons,
your view of this in the United States should develop.
Take the leadership
out by law.
Start it now and ask them to join with you. You say,
watch, you've got to codify that. How does that make here? What treaties are violated?
If you present it to them, I remember being in Nigeria 15 years ago, and they said, will you please send us the anti-Asian treaties? I said, why don't you get kind of hurt off with it, Jimmy, and then have some funny stuff in there, but they said, you give it to me with an official stamp that it comes from War, Peace, or Loss. I don't, then we know we've got the right stuff. Now, I think if you handed O'Hanlon Selassie a book of all the treaties that he ought to adhere to, maybe he wouldn't take them all. And I don't think we can have a war in parliament or a war in government. I'm totally opposed to that. But it would give them something they don't have now. And so I think that, that in this this whole area, of international justice, you can almost do the same thing as President. We're going to do with domestic justice. Set up a commission, have the experts, bring it down, and then see what you have. Now, the other thing I want to say to you, I realize that you're not much for clichés, but actually, the word justice, you have more known, more and more and more appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, you always want peace with justice, order and justice.
That's right.
I'd just give anything if you could talk about that more.
Because you're working for
justice in America, justice in the world. There's nothing you could say that would mean more to more people. Because they all want it. We'll never have perfect justice. But it's kind of a great thing. It stirs things within people. And I was just out in Chicago, and I spoke to Rotary Number One, and I spoke of your winding up the war and all that kind of stuff, and Lord, they came out of their seats. That I said we were back on the high road again, and
incidentally, you'll be interested to know, you probably haven't seen it yet, the disappearance of Alf today in our communication with the PRC, that there will be an office set up in Washington and one in Peking. They'll have one here, we'll have one in Peking. Now, this, of course, is a hard thing for our Taiwanese friends, but it's a very significant development. This is the first time the Communist China has ever set up an office in a country where Taiwan already had, where Taiwan didn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows an enormous, important development. Now, the other side of that coin is that what we have done here also brings the Russians around. Now they want to get closer to us. You see those that
are
displayed that way.
Oh, you opened up the world. I mean,
it doesn't mean the world is safe. It doesn't mean we have to reduce our defenses and that sort of thing. But it does mean that the world has changed.
Yes.
And that before it was frozen into ice, now it's thawing. And now a time of thaw is very great nature. It can either bring crops or it can bring a flood. So we're trying to get the crops so we can harvest them rather than the flood to destroy us all. And that's the tricky time right now as we move into this thaw period. You take, for example, one disagreement on Laos. It's amusing to me to see some of the people that were squealing the loudest about our supporting the poor Laotians and their attempting to keep the Gaza from overrunning them are now condemning the ceasefire because they say it gave the communists too much. What it is, that we provide knowledge to other countries. About 5 minutes. The communists, I'm sure the scouts here coming up soon. So, but what really happens internally is that it's an agreement with Savannah Bowman, who is the government there, where he retains his position. And the North Vietnamese get out in 90 days, which is important. But I only mention that because it's never going to be totally safe down there. You're never going to be free from conflict there. India is always going to fight Pakistan. And the North Vietnamese and South Vietnamese are probably always going to be at each other's throats. And North Korea and South Korea are going to be after each other. And the communist world, the free world, is going to have its differences. And there will be differences in the free world. The thing we have to realize is that the world was never made for instant peace. What you say about codification is true, that the law must grow, and the world is even a slower process than it sit down and strike off a constitution for the whole world, whether it's a League of Nations or the UN, doesn't work. On the other hand, I agree that a process, what I would call the common law process, is
that this common law,
process, yes. Where there is no where you just build on the precedence and then codify it, maybe that's the answer.
But then if you just started this, but if you just started, all the others can add to it.
Yeah.
At least you just started. And if you can say, look, we are going to be the strongest nation in the world. Sure. And it's not enough. But we're also at the same time we're going to build peace structure. We're going to build it out of law institutions, law rules as well. And we're going to look for justice in our country.
And abroad.
And that's something,
right?
You know, whether they
have a good word, you can even come and talk justice. Well, they also can scream, they want justice, and to a certain extent, they have a sort of a rough kind of justice in their country, you know.
You know, when I was last in Moscow, almost the entire Supreme Court let me out at the airport.
Mm.
And we talked about justice, we talked about a lot of things. And Smirnov, who's now the Chief Justice, he was in just a member of the court, Gorkin, who remembers you quite well from Tunisia or something, was then the Chief Justice. He was head of the Communist Party and was also head of their Supreme Soviet. When he met you, you were vice president. He's now about 85, so he's retired. But, you know, they want what we have. They want what we have. And Smirnov said to me, well, you don't have perfect justice. And I said, no, we never will have. But we work for it. We've got to stop. We work for it. But I think that in this area, you can do so much because, well, you're on top of the heat. Everybody's looking to you. And you can do so much more.
There's a lot of tricky ground ahead that we'll
yes.
To work on.
Oh, yes, but I'm sure that you will make it. So those are the 12.
Well, I would say I appreciate your way gone to bat. It's been a long time since 60, hasn't it?
Really?
And you had what you had level at 68.
I was telling this young man.
We're all getting
I was telling this young man who was here. He said, he's come in here. I said, well, you know, I always remember in 1960 when you know, you asked me to get the ball in here. He said, well, we'll see. But I hope you're still citizen. I said, what are we supposed to say? $4 million. We haven't got it done. You know, anything.
Oh, yeah.
No sense of you know. And so I had to come over here and see President Eisenhower. And I was working on this little drug thing for him. And he said, well, I'm doing all this thing. What can I do for you? I said, you can invite every rich person in the United States to dinner in the White House. So he can serve you. You know,
yeah.
He said, you write the telegram.
I said,
and he did. He can't bring me an ashtray. It was shortly after you called me and asked me to head
to the nomination.
Or yeah, after the nomination, yeah. But I think that the other office, I say the quickness with which I moved to invite all these people. And he stood up over here when they came. He said, you know, it's not proper to shake you down here, but you go over to the Carlton, they're already working.
I like your idea.
Well,
and on the, I guess you haven't discussed the thing. I'd like for you to run over with, either John Earlman or John B.
I'd be glad.
No, I've got a better idea. Sneed is here now.
Oh, yes,
he's going to play an important role. If you like him.
Oh, yes, loud.
All right. Get him involved in this. I want him to be. I wanted to know who
was
the
time to say that he worked on it.
I mean, it's a domestic.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the
domestic. He worked on it
so that he can then be in. So we don't have to do all the work here. You tell Steve, you and I talk, and then keep him posted on the thing, and we'll sort of use him as the thought. This is on this commission that Charlie's had, you know,
on this. Yeah, on the National Investigative Justice, the National Institute, yes.
So we're going to do Steve.
He worked on it.
Tell Steve
that he can touch the lawsuits.
Sure.
See you, Mr. President.
Boy Scouts.
Yeah. Now, with that, Mr. Arthur Platt, I just want to remind you that Platt is the chairman of the warehouse company. He's been a big contributor in the past. I don't know what he did this time. Very strong. I'll.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, we'll listen.
My girl will give him a special tour right after.
Yeah.
Want to come over on this side of the room, Charlie, you stay over on this side. President, I mean, I'm still over on this side here.
Yeah, I want to come over here, very much.
Just right over here.
Position all the rest of the house.
Over this way, if you come right in, please. Come right over here. Just form a line, right over here. On this side, come over this way a little bit further. Yeah, so wait, they are, just put the fire to make the presentation, just put them.
Okay, I want more to work.
Might be less than most of them.
But we were, that's beautiful, isn't it? Spread out a little further.
Back up a little bit. First one, why don't you get a little bit more? Get very close.
Gosh.
See, I'm sure it gets that.
Right.
Let's follow up. Yeah.
We were lined up as first last night. Okay, this rep, if it's okay.
The presentation is going to be right.
We should change.
No, it's stay right where you are. Right where you are.
Presentation's still on. Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States.
Yes, how are you? See, sorry, I left the plant yesterday.
You're beautiful, but too.
Yes, likewise.
I'd like to present Mr. John Clara, who's the director of the program.
Yes, how are you?
Boy, I think
there are explorers.
Boy, it's one girl.
Yes, sir.
That's how you do.
Over 6 million board and the Boy Scouts of America, I'd like to present you with this.
Project SOAR, our nationwide conservation program. Project REACH, the scouting program's contribution to prevention of drug abuse. The second annual Presidential Explorers Congress. And the introduction of the Peru SCAP. With great pleasure, I present this to you on behalf of SCAP.
West Coast America region was six new administrative regions for the purpose of more effectively bringing scouting to the youth in the United States. This plaque shows each of the six regions, and the areas are made of wood in each of that part. It is a great pleasure to present this to you as for your service to the youth of America from West Coast.
Yes, sir. I hope you kept this one.
President,
Boy Scouts of America have recently compiled this book called Our Flag. It's one of the most comprehensive sources of our history of the nation's flag. We want to present this your copy of our flag, and with it also, help him, the flag of the United States of America, and thank you for the spirit of our flag.
Mr. President, we know that you are the nation's number one sports leader. The goal of athletics for personal fitness and also student development. Last year, the Explorers held their second national Explorers at Colorado University. The channel of this event, I'd like to present this Explorers flag to you as a token of our appreciation and invitation to carry out fitness and safety activities in 1974 and 75.
No, wait. Well, I want to express my appreciation to all of the delegation here, the outstanding representatives of the United States, and I'm glad that you recognize the also, I want you to know that your projects are very, very big in prison like that. All in the United States are good in prison. So it's because of the press. You know, slavery was often discussed in the drug abuse. We heard the speech last week on the problem of the environment. They, of course, are enormously interested in the prison business and our young people generally. And here, scouts throughout this country. We as a government do a great deal, but unless the people of the country cooperate, we can accomplish nothing. And scouting is no other organization, certainly not large in the United States, which enlists more volunteers for these great goals this year. The other thing I'd like to say, which I'm sure all of you will appreciate, and particularly your father's thoughts, this is the fourth time I have received this group. It's the fifth time, I should say, because as you know, the president is the honorary president of the Boy Scouts of America. This is the first president that I have been able to receive due to the time when I can say to you, you no longer are the president of the draft. You have a choice now, I suppose, to come to my services. I hope some today, because it's a very honorable and important profession. And also, it's the first time that I can speak to you, and I can say that the United States. My greatest hope for you, in addition to progress on all of these fronts, which are so important at home, is that you and your brothers and your sons may grow up in the world. Special tour of the White House. don't pick anything up. I think we should have leave something for them, though. We got something to do with the structure. Hey, they like to collect, No, I think high bars.
High bars are all...
Okay, high bars for the boys, okay, for that. And give these older gentlemen, these older scouts, give them cufflinks. I want them to have to wear cufflinks.